The title of our lesson today is To Everything There's a Season. And our devotional and background study is the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And I like that verse. It gives me comfort that if I draw near to God, all things work together for the good. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time I'll ask teachers to take charge of the class. Our Sunday school lesson text today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And as y'all probably know, this is Solomon doing the writing here. And I'll start off by reading that, and then I'll try to come up with some thoughts for our lesson. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to sweep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. As I studied this, I considered going through and trying to come up with examples of these various times that he has given, and I decided against that. I think you can ponder these in your heart a little bit and think it over, and you can understand. I don't believe that anybody needs me to explain a time to be born and a time to die. I think it's pretty much all of these are pretty self-explanatory. I do want to go over, or try to go over, perhaps some of the thoughts behind this, some of the reasoning. And it says here in the first verse, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. And the thought that came to my mind as I read that was, God has a purpose for the things that happen in this world, in this time that we live in, and in times past and in times to come. God has a purpose for the things that occur. And we as God's children need to be drawing near to God that we might, for one thing, to some degree understand the purpose. Now, we're mortal, we're imperfect, and we're never going to understand everything that God has seen fit to accomplish. But God can be with us. And that's why we need to draw near to God. We need to be on our knees in prayer. We need to have our hearts humble before Him, that as much as is possible, we can understand what's going on around us. And also that we might be in tune with that we might be His faithful servants, that we might be accomplishing what it is He would have us to accomplish, and to be in sync with the time, the occurrences, the goings on that are about us, that we might be faithful to Him. Because we're going to see some bad times. We're going to see some bad times in our personal lives. The first thing here is a time to be born and a time to die. We are mortal. We're going to die. Our loved ones are going to die. And that's just there's coming a time for that. But, you know, when God is with us, He can see us through those times. He can comfort us. He can give us guidance. We need to be there. We need to be there with Him when those times come. One thought that came to my mind was, all these times are listed, and I said that God has a purpose for the things that occurs, and I believe that, but I don't believe that everything that occurs is God's will. One example that came to my mind was when tragedies strike our nation. And the one tragedy that comes to mind, and I've used this in lessons past, was 9/11, when the planes hit the towers. And I've said this in the past. I don't necessarily think that that's what God wanted to happen. I do believe He allowed that to happen. And I'm speaking about times and occurrences and things that happen. That happened, I believe. This is my opinion, I can be wrong, but I think that happened because of sin, the sin that occurs in our country. I believe God allowed the hedge to be lifted up for just a moment of time there to show what can happen to this country. Not that He wanted tragedy to come upon this country or upon the people of this nation, but He will allow that if we as God's people fall away from Him. When we get caught up in our own personal lives, in our own what it is we want, and we begin to lose sight of what God would have us to do, He will lift up that hedge and He will allow tragedy to come upon us. And again, I don't think that's really His will, but I don't think He has pleasure when He has to chasten His people. But He has told us that will occur. He will chasten His people. We will be whipped. Just as, when my kids were little, when they did something wrong, I would punish them. I didn't have any pleasure in it. I didn't want to do that. Sometimes I think it hurt me more than it hurt them. And I didn't do it properly every time. God does it properly every time. He does it in a strict accordance with what He has told us will occur. And we have no excuse. We can look back in the Bible and we can read the Old Testament. We can understand. We can see where those people made mistakes. We can see where they drifted from Him. And we can see His remedy that came upon those people. And we are told that we're no different, that the outcome won't be any different today when we as God's people stray from Him. So I want to try to bring out the difference in what God's will is and what God allows to happen, because a lot of things that happen are bad. And I don't want to say that everything that occurs that is a tragedy is the result of sin. I mean, sometimes, heartache just comes and it's not necessarily the result of sin. So, and I don't want you to think that I'm saying that if something bad happened to you, it's because you're a sinner. That's not it at all. But we do need to understand the difference in God's will and what God allows to happen because of men's sin. And another example of that and would be the Pharaoh and how that he refused to allow the children of Israel to leave Egypt when Moses went and presented his case as to what God would have his children to do, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. Y'all all know what happened there. It's a pretty long story. I'm not going to go into it. But look at the price that Pharaoh paid because he hardened his heart, because he refused to bow down and not necessarily worship God, but just allow God's people to go on and accomplish the thing that God would have them to accomplish. That was a time there. That was a time when God insisted that he be worshipped by his children, the children of Israel. That was what God was determined to have happen, and that time was going to come, that was going to be accomplished, and no man was going to stand in his way. Pharaoh was not going to stand in God's way, and he didn't. God got honor and glory from Pharaoh throughout, from the time that occurred, from the time that the sea closed upon the Egyptians and drowned them until this very day. God is receiving honor and glory from Pharaoh's lives because the time that was the time that was upon them, and there was no way that Pharaoh could ever stop that. That kind of was a little bit mixed up. I hope y'all understand what I was trying to say there. I spoke just a minute ago about how that we as God's people need to draw near God, and we need to be in the center of His will as much as possible. For one thing, that we might understand what's coming, what's going on, that God might prepare us, He might be with us, and He might use us for His honor and His glory, and He also that He might comfort us and strengthen us. But you know, no matter how much I strive to draw near to God, and I pray and I try to study the Bible, I'm still an imperfect person. I still sin. I still fall short. And this, and I'm skipping forward here. He goes down in the 10th and 11th verse. He says, "I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it." That is, I believe, the imperfectness of us, the sinful nature. "He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He hath set the world in their heart." I guess that's one of the things that I struggle with as much as anything is trying to keep the world out of my heart, trying to keep the things that I want to do, the things that I want out from just choking me out. Because it goes on to say, "so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." I have an imperfect understanding. I don't grasp the things, and I think I could do better. I believe if I drew near to God more so, I studied the Bible more, I prayed more, I think I would understand the times that I'm living in. I think I would understand and be better situated to cope with things that go on in my life if I would draw near to God more. But again, it's that warfare that Paul spoke of, that inward man and that outward man constantly in battle. What I want to do and what the Spirit of the Lord in me guides me to do. So, we as imperfect beings will never fully understand the purpose of God. But God does have a purpose. He does have a plan. And we know in part, but as the Bible says, you know, we look through a glass darkly. So we have that struggle to understand the times and the seasons that are upon us sometimes. Going back up one verse to the 9th verse here, he says, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?" The only explanation here that I have for this verse, and I may be misinterpreted, is that the things of this world are going to burn up. You know, the things that I strive for, the things that creep into my heart and kind of choke out the spirit are temporal things. They're temporary things. And they're not going to last. You know, they may last my lifetime, but they're not going to last throughout eternity. But spiritual things will last throughout eternity. Prayers that we offer up to God that make an accomplishment, that reach somebody, that touch them, those things last throughout eternity. And I believe that when we pray to God in a right manner and we get a prayer through that is pleasing unto God, and I believe we have rewards that will last throughout eternity. But the things that our mortal beings want, the things that we strive for, and the things that sometimes seem so important they just occupy my mind and I can't think of anything else, really are nothing. They are not important at all. And I think that's what he's saying here. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? There's no profit to be had in this world. Now, he's speaking in the long term, I believe. I don't think he's telling us that to go out and work, you're not going to get any pay. We know that. I mean, we know that we have to work. We have to have our jobs, and the Bible teaches us that we're to labor for our bread. But long lasting accomplishments will always be spiritual, not of this world. I guess it was a short lesson, but that's about everything that I have for today. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments? It was an interesting lesson to me, and as I read it, I kind of tried to put some meaning to some of these times that he has listed here. Some of them are self-explanatory. Some of them are a little bit less so, but I hope y'all studied it a little bit and thought about it some. Does anybody have anything they want to add?
I was thinking about the beauty that we see even today as you look upon the trees and all the glory when they're blooming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this is the season when all the grass is greening up. And all this is done by God. We don't know how to do it.
That's true.
And it's something else to think about. And even us coming to church, we've got the privilege to come and praise God for what He's done for us. And just for letting us live, and we think about a child being born. You can't explain how the bones grow, and the baby when it's growing up, the little fella, and he gets taller, and bald bones grow, and all that. Nobody can explain that.
No.
Well, I don't say nobody. I can't. About other people.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was about to forget. I wanted to read some of Brother Vanderpool's commentary over here on the sixth page, dropping down about halfway. He says, and this is speaking of the people that get kind of all up in arms about global warming and various predictions of gloom and doom. He says, unbelievers become easily alarmed at public proclamations concerning predictions of future devastation or disturbances in the universe. These same people fail to take note of their own spiritual condition as it stands today. And you know, that strikes me as so true. These people are out in the world, and I'm all for clean air and clean water, and I'm glad that we have cars that don't pollute the way they used to. But you know, that really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many trees you cut down or how much carbon monoxide your cars put out. No matter what happens, we as people are going to die. At some point, either that or the world is going to come to an end. And the world will be here until God says time shall be no more. Now, it may not be a fit place to live, but it will be here and there'll be people on it somewhere. So I'm not advocating just scrap all the EPA rules or something, but I really think that I think that people sometimes get a little bit too carried away with that, and they begin to worship the earth rather than viewing themselves as stewards of the earth. But then he goes on to say, believers often trouble themselves with some of the same whims without seeking spiritual guidance or searching the scripture to find the truth of the matter. Losing oneself in the predictions and suppositions of uncertainties can be both wasteful and devastating. Most often, the believer is better served by searching the scriptures rather than depending on oral and written philosophy from those who deny the existence of the maker of the universe. And I thought that was some pretty good commentary. I wanted to read that to y'all. So, and I agree with what he says. So, if nobody else has anything, we can be dismissed. Let's remember the prayer request that was made this morning. Let's remember Brother Armour as he tries to stand. The Lord might give him guidance also today. Brother Don, would you dismiss us?
Most kind and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for this day. We thank Thee, Lord, for the blessing that we received every day. Ask, Lord, that You might go with us, be with the pastor this morning as he stands. Bless all the people that are here. We ask, Lord, that they might think about their God and what He means for them. Ask, Lord, now that You might be with our help in the revival when it comes time for revival. Ask, Lord, that we might do the things You might have us to do. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings and many mistakes. Give us a good service today. Pray for the blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.